Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Hello?
Tuesday is the week, 8 p.m. EDT, and it's going to be a wonderful show. I pray that you are having a really awesome time in the glory of God. I'd really encourage you to check out last week's show with Bob Griffin. We had a few technical problems, but it's really worth getting an understanding of what the revelation that he's been receiving, not just about Israel, but about everything that God is about to do on the earth and is doing at the moment on the earth. Now, you might be able to hear in the background there. Today we've got Deborah Quick on. Deborah, I have you your mic active. I'll just check that you can hear okay and communicate okay.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't think you could hear me. Yes, I'm here.
Great. Yeah. No, Deborah's a friend of mine and a friend of the show. We love her and love what God is doing in her life. It's really exciting. I want to encourage you all to, be aware of things that are happening. And as you watch the news, you see things happening in regards to Syria, and you see things happening in regards to the Middle East and all around the world. It's a call to prayer. Okay, and it's a call, as Paul said, to pray in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit of God in prayer always, and to be interceding on behalf of not just God's intervention, but the kingdom of heaven expanding in some of these deep, dark places, as far as just horrendous things that happen in the world. But, God is looking to break through. He's looking to bring his kingdom. He's looking to change the culture and change the atmosphere in these places where, there is slavery, where, for instance, women don't have a voice and children don't have a voice and there's capital punishment and just things that are unfair and from our perspective would seem unjust. God has a plan for that, His plan is for you to pray in the Spirit, for all of us to pray in the Spirit until we see the kingdom come on the earth in those places. So I want to encourage you, as things ratchet up in the earth, don't be alarmed, rather than be alarmed, respond. Respond with the weapons of your warfare. Respond in just being who you are and who God has created you to be. And if you do that, in fact, see, if 100 people did that, the world would change overnight. If 100 people truly believed, truly had a full understanding of who they are in Christ, the world, it'd be turned up onside its head. Jesus may as well come back that day. Because there'd be so many people coming into the kingdom and so many people coming into their destiny. But God has good plans. He doesn't have bad plans. Anyway, I've got Deborah Quick here, and Deborah is going to be helping us to understand intercession. So I wanted to just read out this verse to you. I think that intercession is really misunderstood, and we're going to explore some of maybe those misunderstandings and how can your intercession be effective, powerful, accurate and quick. Well, 1 Timothy 2:1 says, first of all, then I urge you that supplications, prayers, intercessions and thanksgivings be made for all people. So he names four levels four different kinds of prayer. He names supplications, he names prayers, also known as petitions requests. And then it talks about intercession, then it talks about thanksgiving. And so all of these are important. They give us understanding as to how the Spirit of God is going to lead us to pray. Like, for instance, thanksgiving. You thank God for what he's doing in your life. supernaturally it releases more. Okay, you know, thank God for the grace that you know that you're seeing, you know, move supernaturally in your life, and you'll start to move in more of it. So there's something very powerful about giving God thanks. But Deborah, I want to ask you about intercession, and the first question I have for you, you know, what does it actually mean to be praying in intercession?
Well, first of all, I was, while you were talking, and you know, right before I talked to you, I thought this kept coming to my mind, and I like to give analogies. You know, Jesus gave parables, so I like to give, you know, stories and tell people things that happened to me that you know, where God taught me some things. So one of the things I was just reading is in Ephesians 2, verse 6. It says, "And Christ has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And in another part of Ephesians, it says that we sit in heavenly places far above all principalities, powers, and dominions of this dark world. And he says, he doesn't say just a little bit above, he says far above, in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus, where we rule and reign with him. So we're seated with him and with him in the heavenly places, where we rule and reign with him. And so I just want to tell you, just remember that scripture, but I'm going to go back and tell you the story. One night, I don't know if I told the story before already, but there was a really, really bad storm in Kansas City. And, you know, we get tornadoes and things like that in the Midwest. And I lived in Houston before that, where we had hurricanes all the time. And so, anyway, just this year, recently, I was sitting in my living room. I think it was in July or something like that. I was sitting in my living room, and I have a sliding glass door right next to my living room. And so all of a sudden, this wind was raging and howling, and, you know, I saw tree limbs flying by and then chairs flying by, and I thought, oh, my gosh. So a friend called me and said, yeah, you need to go under cover. There's a storm coming. So anyway, all of a sudden, I heard the Lord say, you know, come again, you know, tell the storm to stop, because greater work shall we do than he did, the Bible says. So I just went to this, I went to the sliding glass door, and I said, I command you to stop, storm, I command you to stop in the name of Jesus. And I have a lot, God's given me a lot of authority over storms from, you know, your things in the past, storms and hurricanes. So he's just given me authority in that area. You know how some people to have different authority in different areas. Well, that was just one of the areas that God had given me. So anyway, then I commanded the storm to stop over and over. Well, the storm didn't stop. And then I heard the Lord say, I want you to go take your seat. So I had this big chair next to the sliding glass door. So I went and sat down in my chair. And then I heard this laugh. And I knew it was the Lord, not mocking me, but he was laughing with me. He thought, you know, the Lord thinks some things he did. He said, no, not that seat. And I thought, oh, okay, you want me to go to my heavenly seat, you know. And, of course, I know the scripture, but it just didn't dawn on me at that moment. So I said, I get it. You want me to go to the heavenly seat, and you want me to speak to this storm from up there. So he goes, yes. So I get up, and I say, now, in the name of Jesus, by the power in the name and in the blood of Jesus, first of all, I go and take my heavenly, you know, first I ask God to forgive me for all my sins, and I wash myself and cover myself in the blood of Jesus. And I go and sit in the heavenly places with my Father, with Jesus. I sit next to him in the heavenly places, far above all rulers and powers and principalities and darkness of this world. And it is written, because, you know, when Satan was coming against Jesus, he kept saying, it is written. So I would say, it is written in Ephesians 2 that I sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. And so that place, and it says that we rule and reign with him. So I speak to the storm, because I'm in heaven, far above the storm. And I speak to that storm from that place where I'm seated, and I command the storm to stop in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And immediately, I mean, almost like within seconds, the storm completely just stopped. And so I also, you know, there were still like a little few things flying around, so I said it again, and I said, and I command all storm, any trees that are falling, I command you to fall sideways, and you will not fall on any cars, and you will not fall on any apartments, you know. So the storm stopped, and I was like praising God. And so the Lord said to me, he said, never pray from any other place but your seat from this day forward. So one should always pray from your seat. And, you know, normally I just command the storm to stop, and I knew about the heavenly seats. But, you know, it was just like a new revelation from an old revelation. We can know, you know, I've been saved for 35 years, so we can know scriptures, and we can know the word of God. you know, no matter how long you're saved, the Word of God can still come alive and it can take you to new levels. And anyway, so today we go around. I know this is a long answer to your question, but me and my friend drove around the area the next day, and all the trees had fallen sideways. Not one tree, even all the way down the street. We went like for a mile around the whole area, and all the trees had fallen sideways. I even have pictures of this. I have pictures in my camera and my face, on my photos on Facebook. But the trees, large trees, just broke completely in half, and they were all sideways. None of them fell on any of the cars. And the Lord says in Luke 10:19, we have authority over all the power of the enemy, not some of the power of the enemy. But, you know, we just can't go around. We can't go around tearing down principalities and powers and dominions, because you have to, you know, something. I'm going into a whole other section. Just skip that for a minute. But for that point, we have authority even over storms. See, Jesus, when he was in the boat, and he was sleeping in the boat, and all the disciples were afraid. You know, why is it, you know, they're afraid, you know, of the storm. And Jesus woke up, and he just commanded the storm. He says, oh, ye of little faith. You know, and he spoke, and he commanded the storm to stop. So, and then, you know, he says, greater works shall we do than he did. So we have a great high priest, you know, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is our advocate and our deliverer. And when we go to him, I mean, he answers the smallest prayer and he answers the greatest prayer, but he answers all of our prayers. And then the answers are always yes, no, or wait. So, but when you know there's like an immediate danger, immediate thing, that's when, you know, you can go to your heavenly places. You can sit in your seat where you rule and reign with him, and you can command that thing to stop that's coming against you. But it's in the name of Jesus. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does. It's a good answer.
There's a lot more to that, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
Please continue to share. Don't let me stop you.
Well, I just wanted to share that. I was taught by Eddie and Alice Smith and a lot of people that, you know, like Cindy Jacobs, Dutch Sheets, and a lot of people that are generals of intercession, and I sat under Eddie and Alice Smith, and awesome people of God, awesome, and they have a lot of books on intercession. So I just, you know, I just devoured all these books on intercession by different people and sat under different people. But one of the things is that we just can't. I've seen a lot of Christians that went and go different places, and they, like, for an example, they'll go to a bar and they say, we're going to go out. And people have, you know, Christians have a lot of zeal, and the zeal, you know, God loves the zeal. But it's almost like if you have a 15-year-old that's just given a high-level sports car, and they're going to get in that car and they're going to run, you know, they don't have the wisdom. I mean, they can drive a car and they can legally drive a car, but they may not know all their limitations to where they can go. So God, you know, there are the limitations until you grow, until you learn. Just like we're, you know, I always tell people we're in a war. So when the enemy has the army, and then there's God's army. That's why they were called soldiers in the army of the Lord. And in any army, there's ranks. And, you know, it's like, you know, there's generals, and then there are the regular soldiers, and then there's sergeants. And so, as you learn more about intercession, and as you learn how to fight in the spirit through intercession, through for your families or cities or nations or towns or people, you start to learn how to pray without getting attacked. And so, I'm going off. I have so much I want to give at one time, and I'm trying to think where I should go first. Let me just step back a minute. John Paul Jackson wrote a book called Needless Casualties of War, and I was telling you, David, about this book, and I tell every Christian that you know, this is one of the book they should read. Well, I'm just going to give an example of something that happened in the book. Well, John Paul Jackson, he's a prophet, and he passed away recently, but he was a father and to many, many, many all over the world. And he wrote a lot of books, and he teaches on dreams and visions, but he's a prophet, and he also delivers healing. So in this book, Needless Casualties of War, there's this part that always comes to my mind. There was this one church, and they had about 100 members in the church, and I may be, let me give or take some, I don't know, I don't remember the exact amount, but his, this church, they had about 10 women out of 100 people in church. They had 10 women that were pregnant all around the same time. Well, at the same time, all these women had miscarriages. Every single one of them had miscarriages from all 10 at the same time. So this pastor is really freaking out. He's scared, and he's like, am I causing a curse on my church? Am I causing something to happen to my church, and what am I doing wrong? So he gets a hold of John Paul Jackson, and John Paul Jackson calls him up, and he said, the first thing John Paul Jackson asked him after he told him the story, he said, how are your intercessors praying? And so he goes, well, what do you mean, how are my intercessors? They're praying for the church, they're praying for the city, and they're praying. He said, are they tearing down principalities and powers and dominions? You know, are they tearing down territorial spirits? And so this pastor said, well, I'll have to get back with you. So he goes and talks, you know, gathers the intercessors together. And there's a group of intercessors that were in the church. And he asked them, have they been tearing down territorial spirits? They go, oh, yeah, we're tearing down all the territorial spirits. We're tearing down all the principalities, and we're doing this and that. And he goes, so he reports back to John Paul Jackson, they're tearing down principalities. And he goes, that's where the attack is, because if you're coming against levels that are too strong that you don't have the legal right to come against them. And so a lot of people may disagree with that, but this is what explains why. If a city, I'm just going to use Sodom and Gomorrah as an example. I know that's really a drastic example. But Sodom and Gomorrah invited sexual immorality. They invited homosexuality. They invited everything that's ungodly was invited into Sodom and Gomorrah. And it continued to grow and get worse and get worse and get worse. So what happens is the people actually invite the spirit into the city. Or an individual invites the spirit into themselves, or a family may invite spirits into their lives. But anyway, but I know I'm going on high level, because if a whole city or a town invites spirits into the town, or the area, or you know the area where you live, or wherever it may be that you're praying for, then if the people invite that spirit there through sin or whatever, then that spirit has a legal right to be there. And so what happens is a lot of people go and they try to attack the spirit, and they command it to come down without even repentance over the city, and without even asking God to put a spirit of repentance over the city. So instead of tearing the spirit down, which causes a lot of backlash, and the way to go about that is to gather intercessors together and start asking God to bring a spirit of repentance over the city. And before we ask God to bring repentance over a city or a town, we have to ask God for repentance over ourselves first, because we can even get, you know, we have to make sure there's no legal rights of the enemy to come attack us. So we have to ask God to forgive us, cover ourselves in the blood of Jesus, and then together, intercessors together, and then ask God for a spirit of repentance to come on the people, because if a spirit of repentance does not come on the people aren't going to repent of their sins, and that legal right continues to stay in that city. For one example, I knew of this group of people that they lived in Houston. I knew of a group of people that were going around. This was like in the late 80s, early 90s. They were going around. I mean, they were doing the right thing. They gathered together and they started prayer walking. But as they were prayer walking, they started tearing down territorial spirits. And one lady literally dropped dead, as she was doing that, you know. And I mean, it could have been she had medical problems or whatever. But the thing is, I know groups of people that have gone on mission trips, and they go, they've gone to do things like tear down spirits on like a mosque, And they all, you know, like missionaries, they'll go as a group, and they, you know, I know one group that went to one place, and they all decided they were going to go. You know, they had the zeal of the Lord and the passion of the Lord, and it was God's passion that was in them, but they didn't have the knowledge, because my people perished from that lack of knowledge. So they went and laid hands on these mosques, and every one of them got sick. I mean, really, really sick. And it literally cut the trip short. They had to come home. Some had to stay in the hospital there. And what happened is they came against a territorial spirit that had a legal right to be there. And if the people invited the spirits in that mosque, which they did, then those spirits had a legal right to be there. So I tell people, it's almost as if you have a friend or a family member, and they decided to invite somebody to live with their house. You can't go over their house and command that person to leave their house, or they might come and try to, you know, if they don't know who you are, they can come and even kill you, not even knowing who you are, if they don't see you. Or you would never go to your friend's house or somebody's house and say, I command that person living with you have to come out, because you can't do that, because that person invited them to stay there. So as long as they're there, that way they're allowed to stay there. And so people will say, well, what do you do then, and how do you take care of that? And the thing is you come, and again, first repent of your own sins, make sure you're spiritually clean, and then come and ask the Lord to bring a spirit of repentance upon the people in the house, or the people in the city, or the people in the town, and ask God to forgive the sins of the forefathers and in that area, and go that way, and continue to pray. And you know, it takes time. It's not always something that's done in a day, even though God can deliver a city in a day, or a town, or a family in a day. It's usually a process. And it all starts with the church. You know, it all starts with us. So we have to be spiritually clean before we can go cleanse anybody else in the area of intercession. Or else that's where a lot of people get into a lot of trouble. We have to, things like if we have unforgiveness or bitterness or anger, or we have wounds in our spirit, or we're wounded with people, and then we go do intercession out of the spirit of woundedness, that can bring a heavy attack on somebody's life. And I'm talking from my own experience, because my own ignorance when I was younger has brought me through so many illnesses that I can't even count. I had 14 illnesses, and an example. Let me give you another example. Is that okay? Did I keep going, David? Are you still there?
Yep. Sorry, it just cut out. I'm still here. Question for you.
Sure.
What does correct intercession sound like? What can you give us an example of a time the Spirit of God has led you in and seen results?
Well, there's many different types of intercession. There's travail, and that's when you're deep into intercession. But, you know, we can pray for God to bless anybody, you know. And, you know, the Bible says when we bless others, if they don't receive it, we receive the blessing if they don't receive it. So we can bless anybody. And, you know, the number one thing to do is, first of all, ask God to forgive us for our sins, and cover. I always cover myself in the blood of Jesus before I even pray. You know, of course, sometimes I forget, and sometimes, you know, God's not just like, if you don't do this ritual, he's not this religious God. We can come boldly before the throne of God anytime. But for me, I just like to cover myself in the blood of Jesus and repent of any sins. And, you know, we all fall short of the glory of God. Everybody, you know, we all, you know, that's why Jesus had to come, because, you know, just in a day, the things of the world, we live in the world, you know, we're not of the world, but we live in the world. So it's always good to just repent before you, you know, just ask God, you know, cleanse me of all unrighteousness, cleanse me from, you know, even like little things. It's the little things, the little boxes, you know, that, like, you know, getting angry at traffic, you know, frustrated, irritated, just little things that I just ask God, forgive me. You know, these are the little things that we sometimes forget, you know, that really we think, oh, well, that's okay. But if I cut someone cuts me off and I get angry, that's a sin, you know. So I just say, God, forgive me. And then, you know, depending on what I'm praying about, I don't know, one of the best things, well, it'd probably be better if I gave an example first. When I was first learning about the deep things in God, I remember one time I was laying on the floor and it felt like something was sitting on top of me. And I could not figure out, you know, I couldn't get up. I just was stuck to the ground. I'm like, what is, how come I can't get up? And it was just like this thing was, I know it was a spirit, but there was something holding me back. And I kept saying the name of Jesus, it wouldn't work. So all of a sudden, it took me 3 hours to get from where I was, or to get over to, I had one, at the time, I had one, they were tape players, if I was that old, blame. They had tape players at the time, and the phone was right next to me when I was stuck on the floor. I got the phone off, and someone who was an intercessor said, just put on worship music and start worshiping. That's the only thing that I could reach. And so all of a sudden, 4 hours later, I was dancing, running, dancing, shouting, praising God in the middle of my apartment. And I felt like I could just soar in the heavenlies. And so worship, you know, intercession, there's so different types of worship is a form of intercession. So when I start praying, the first thing I do, and a lot of times people may say, well, I'm not anywhere where I can worship. Well, we can just start thanking God and praising Him and say, I love you, Lord. I bless you, Lord. Holy is the Lord. You are beautiful. You are wonderful. I love you. Thank you for all you've done for me. You know, we can do that. We don't even have to say it out loud. If you're not in a place where you can do that and you want to pray, just start thanking Him and, you know, thanking Him for what He's done, thanking Him for His blood, thanking Him for dying on the cross. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that You've given me my family. Thank you, Lord, for this job, for the car. Thank you that I have friends. Thank you that I live in a country that is still free, Lord, today. Thank you. And you can speak things that are not as though they are. The Bible says to speak things as not as though they are in Romans. So, you know, if you're sick, you could say, thank you, Lord Jesus, that I'm well. Thank you, Jesus, that my body is full, that my body is healed. Thank you that by Your stripes I'm healed. And I was talking to Eddie Smith, and he said, you know, they don't tear down territorial fruit. They speak proclamation. You know, they do a lot of gatherings of leaders in cities. So what they do is they speak proclamations, you know, proclamations from the Bible, and they gather together and they speak those over the city and worship. They worship because that was, you know, if we didn't have Satan and his army, we would live in a perfect world, right? We wouldn't have sin because, you know, he's the one, you know, because of what Adam and Eve and Satan and all that. This is the reason we have so much sin in our human nature, because of what Adam and Eve did, so we have a fallen nature. So his job in heaven, God would, he would be able to go inside of God's heart and outside of God. He walked on the stones, you know, inside of God's heart, and he knew every intimate detail about God. I mean, if anybody knew about God, he did. And the Lord, I can't remember where it is, and I'll have to find it for you, but in the Bible it says that, his body was able to make any instrument, any sound. So that's Satan's number one, one of his number one weapons is music. So in his job, he was the worship leader in heaven. And so when we worship, just like when King Jehoshaphat put all the worshipers up front, and he had the dancers and the worshipers up in front, they went and got, they didn't even have to shoot one arrow, and they won the whole war just by worshiping the Lord. So what happens when you worship, when you start worshiping the Lord, and you not singing about the Lord, not singing around the Lord, what I mean around is like, have you heard what the Lord has done for us, which is a good, that's a really good, look what the Lord has done for me is a good song, but when we start singing directly to the Lord, you are holy, Lord. You are beautiful. I love you, Lord. I thank you. You are worthy, worthy, worthy to be praised. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. You are holy, Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is and who was and is to come. You know, and we bow down before you, Lord. You're speaking directly to the Lord as if he's your friend standing right there in front of you. But a lot of times in worship, what we do is we go around the Lord. It's like you're having a friend sitting there, and we're talking about him while he's in the room, but we're not talking to him. And the Lord wants us to talk directly to him face to face and not go around him. And, you know, and that when we worship the Lord, God fights our battles for us. The enemy, that's one of the biggest defeats. That's one form of intercession. A lot of people don't realize that worship is a form of intercession. And that's the one thing that the enemy wants to steal from us is our worship. Because if you can worship, if you worship and then you pray in the spirit, which is praying in the tongues, you pray in the spirit and you sing and you worship the Lord, the enemy flees. The enemy can't stand to be in the presence of worship. Demons can't stand to be in the presence of worship. I know that sounds like warfare, but any kind of intercession is warfare. If you're stepping into warfare every time, you know, when we pray, you know, it is warfare. The enemy, you know, God hears and the enemy hears. And the enemy, as soon as we make an agreement with the enemy, he tries to run with it and take off with it, with whatever we're saying. So the weapons are of a warfare, not carnal, but mighty through the pulling down of strongholds. And am I going off on too many different subjects? I'm trying to stay in one area, but I'm going off on different areas. So the other thing about intercession is we need to interpret the times and the seasons that we're in. And a lot of people say, well, God isn't hearing my prayers. And a lot of times, he is hearing our prayers at the time, but we're not in the right timing, you know, of certain things, and we need to learn to wait before the Lord. So that's another area where people need is just to wait and sit before the Lord. We're so used to doing things so fast in America and so quickly, and God wants to have, he wants our time. And there's times where I've had to sit an hour before the Lord and just say nothing, and that's something that we're not used to. We like to talk. And so many, I was reading so many scriptures in the Bible, and where, you know, God says just to wait on me, to wait before me, to wait on me. And what happens is a lot of people get distracted during that time. So when you're during intercession, if you take a pen and a piece of paper and just write titles of the things that, you know, like the enemy will always come and try to tell you all the things that you need to do. And all the things that you haven't done, and everybody will try to call you during the time when you decide you're going to sit down and you're going to intercede. That's when everybody calls you. Everybody wants prayer. The enemy says, go to Facebook because somebody needs you. Somebody needs to get delivered. Somebody needs prayer. Somebody needs healing. But, you know, the most important relationship that we have is with the Lord, and we can't give anything out. And, you know, we can't give anything out unless we've been filled up ourselves. David? Hello? Hello? I'm sorry.
It should have just cut in. It's okay. It just from my end, it's cutting in out.
Oh, no. Are you cutting out? So you're cutting out? Can you hear me? If you can at least hear me, I don't know if I'm off or on.
You're on. It's just the lo-fi is cutting in and out. I've got quite a few questions because that's really good information. So what you're saying is it's never appropriate to tear down territorial strongholds because the spirits have been given a right due to people in the area sinning. So when as far as removing spirits, is there any time that's appropriate to move territorial spirits, or is all deliverance done on a personal level?
No, I mean... What you can do, well, for like things like territorial spirits, number one, you can pray, like you can release proclamations over the city. You know, you speak life to the city and, you know, gather people together and speak life over the city. And, for example, just say if you're praying for America, the worst thing that we can do is say, if you think about this, how many Christians would you say live in America? A lot.
A lot.
just say it's a million. I don't know how many there are, but you know, just say there's a million. We'll just throw out a number. I know that's the wrong number, but just pretend
that's
a million. If we have 500,000 of those Christians all praying, all coming against President Obama and the White House is this, see, what happens is the Bible says where two or more are gathered in my name, I'll be there among them. But also we forget that the enemy has the counterfeit of that. The enemy is saying, well, two or more make an agreement with me, I'll take it and run with it. So if we have 500,000 Christians or even 1,000 Christians and they're all speaking, you know, yeah, Obama, we'll just take them out, you know, just take them out into this and just all this negative stuff that you hear all over the place about how bad the White House is, how bad the president is, how bad the government is, how bad America's becoming. We're giving the enemy, we're actually feeding into the enemy. We're actually giving him permission to go work havoc on America. We're actually feeding the fuel to the fire. We're adding fire, adding fire. And the enemy is constantly coming to Christians whispering, say this, say this, say this about America, say this about the president, say this about this person, say this about this group. And before you know it, there's all kinds of chaos and havoc. And what happens, it's not them out there, it's not the government, it's not those people out there, it's us as Christians that are speaking death over, you know, in the Romans it says, speak those things as not as though they were. So what we should be, so I know that you asked about territorial spirits, but this is, you know, this is how sin gets bought, because the more we speak negative, the more we make these proclamations, the more we're bringing demons in, the more we're bringing spirits in to work havoc. So what we need to do is take proclamations from the Bible, or it doesn't, you know, related to, you know, where you can back it up with scripture and say, America was born to help Israel. America, you know, just we speak life over America. We just bless America. Lord, we just, we proclaim that this is a godly nation that loves the Lord with all its heart and soul and mind, that this is America is a place where people freely worship the Lord and freely follow after the word of God and freely go forth. And, you know, I'm using America as an example because this is where we live, but we want to live in a prosperous place, prosperously, spiritually, you know, and does that make sense?
It does make sense.
So,
because,
Well, the individual, let me go back on the individual. Okay, if we have a legal right, if somebody comes to us, like if you're at the altar and you're praying for someone and you see a demonic spirit, depending, you know, you have to be sensitive to where they are at. You don't just say, hey, you have a demonic spirit. Of course, you know, if you're a trained altar worker where you're, you know, trained in deliverance and healing and you know how to handle, you know, that, then, and, you know, you've been given permission from the leadership of the church or wherever you're praying or if you're at home and you're praying for somebody too, you have to ask a person, you know, I feel like you need deliverance, and this is, you know, explain, you know, ask them if they're having trouble. Let's just use anger as an example. Say somebody has a spirit of anger and they come up for prayer and they're asking to get healing for something and you know that they're bound by a spirit of anger. You can just feel it. You know, just ask them, do you ever feel angry? And usually they'll tell you, yeah, because if they're at the altar, they want to get touched somehow. You know, they want the Lord to reach them. And usually 9 out of 10 times they'll take, they'll start crying and, you know, and in a very loving way, you just bring them, can I help you go through some deliverance with this, with anger that's harassing you? You don't make them think they're an angry person, they're mean and evil. can I help you with this thing that's there? You know, I feel, you know, you'll tell them I feel, depending on where they are, if they're not a Christian or if they're, you know, you won't say that. But if they're a Christian and they're dealing with anger, then you would say, you know, can I help you with this? And get, in other words, getting their permission to take them through deliverance. So at that point, I have every legal right to deliver that person. But if I just go and say, hey, I command this spirit to leave you and I command that spirit to leave you, and say the person's involved in alcohol or drugs or something, you know, or even, and you start saying, I command the spirit of alcohol to leave you, and I command, and you haven't even asked the person if they even want to get delivered, those spirits that you're trying to cast out have every right to come and attack you because you're coming against them illegally. Because you never asked permission. So you say, you have to ask a person, do you want to get rid of this? That's why people say to you at the altar, would you like to get rid of this? And if you say yes, then you just gave them the legal right. But if that person says no, you don't push them. You leave because you're opening doors for yourself. If you start pushing them, you know, just bless them, pray healing over them, and just go on, you know. But you don't want to take them through the deliverance because that's where the legal right comes through.
I think that that really helps. That's going to help people to understand. I think that there is a massive amount of misunderstanding in regards to deliverance, legal rights, intercession, you know, different kinds of prayer, and you know, what kind of authority we need to, or when we use our authority and when we don't use our authority under the blood. It's really important to understand and know that. So I really appreciate that answer.
Well, think of this. Think of Daniel. And Daniel was praying for 21 days. And he was at that point he had been promoted to be, you know, the third in rank in the whole country, you know. And King Nebuchadnezzar raised him up because he interpreted his dreams, and he raised him up to be, you know, gave in charge of a lot of his affairs, you know, a third of the kingdom of the affairs he was taking care of and he was in charge of. And he had to fight for 20, you know, I may be a little, I hope I'm not out of order in that. But anyway, he was praying and fasting for 21 days, And the angel of the Lord came and said, I heard you when you first started, I'm going to paraphrase it. I heard you when you first started praying, but the prince of Persia prevented me. So Michael, the archangel, had to come and fight, help, before I could get the answer to you. So just think, if he had to have that much, if he had to fast and pray, and he had to wait, and he had to be patient to wait before the Lord, we just don't want to wait. We just want things done, and we want things done right now. So sometimes we have to wait before we do things. We have to sit before the Lord, wait. And the waiting is the hard part. And just to tell you what I do real quick, this really helps me a lot. I take a list of all the people or things that I'm praying for. And because, you know, I've been at the International House of Prayer. When I go there, I go with a paper and I list all, before I go, I take a list. I don't always do this, but I take a list of all the things that I want prayer for, that I want answers to. And so this is what I do. I say, Lord Jesus, as I worship you and as I worship in community with the rest of the people here, I lift up I lift up my needs to you, and I lift up my prayers that I want you to answer, and I lift them up to you. And I might just go down the list and say some of them or say them. And then I just go to the prayer room and I start worshiping. And 9 out of 10 times, those answers get dealt with really quickly. And, you know, because I gave it to the Lord. You know, give these to you, Lord. These are yours. And sometimes you don't even have to say them, but, you know, just write them down. And I said, I cover these in the blood of Jesus. I ask you to answer these prayers. And, you know, of course, the most important ones are lists. And, you know, you thank him. And as you're worshiping, he answers your prayers. But there's different levels of prayers. There's different levels of intercession. There's different kinds of intercession. So that would be a whole long teaching for all the different types of intercession.
Just to try and demystify it a little bit, the term intercession, from a biblical standpoint, the term intercession
means to pray on behalf of yourself or pray on behalf of another. But as Deborah's saying, there are a lot of different levels, different ways that you can intercede. But I really like, you know, the whole thing of if you're praying for a city or a town anywhere, rather than trying to destroy demonic strongholds, prophetically declaring and making decrees of the destiny of the town as being a powerful means of getting breakthrough.
Yeah, and Job, and I'm not saying, just to let people know, God hears the faintest prayer. He hears, if you're by yourself, He hears the word help. Even if you can't sin, He hears the groanings of our spirit. So God is completely aware of our weaknesses and our groanings and our failures and our heart and our hurts. And, you know, I'm not talking about that level, but that level, he hears the faintest of prayers, and He answers the faintest of prayers. I'm not saying you have to do all this stuff at all times, but I'm just saying if you want to go deeper in the intercession, you know, I mean, if you're hurting and you're feeling lonely and you're feeling wounded and you can't say anything but just help me, Lord, God hears that prayer, and He'll come to your help. He'll help you. And we can come, again, we come boldly into the throne room. We can boldly go into the throne room. The prayers of the Old Testament and the New Testament are different because the Old Testament didn't have the Holy Spirit, and we have the Holy Spirit in the New Testament because of Jesus. I think I need to say that again. The way they prayed in the Old Testament is the prayer from the Old Testament. This is something that one of my mentors, Eddie Smith, talked to me about. He goes, the Old Testament prayers are different from the New Testament prayers because in the Old Testament they didn't have the Holy Spirit yet. They had the expectation of the time when Jesus was going to come, but they didn't have Him. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. When Jesus died, He went to be with the Father. He said, "I'm going to send a Comforter, so He can be with all Christians at the same time, or you know, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord." You know, they can come to 1,000 people at the same time or however millions of people at the same time. So they didn't have that in the Old Testament. But they, you know, anybody, you know, and like when Noah and Moses and God was speaking to them in their homes or wherever they were already speaking, and God told Moses, go to so-and-so place so that I can speak to you over there. And You know, when I first read that, I thought, well, Lord, I thought, why did He have to go someplace else? Because he was already speaking to God. I mean, it's like me telling you, David, I'm already talking to you, but go someplace else so I can come talk to you, and I'm already talking to you.
Yeah.
And this is the reason. We have portals. There's portals that have opened. There's the first heaven, second heaven, and third heaven. Earth is the first heaven. Above the atmosphere of the earth, you know, where space and all that is, that's the second heaven, and then the third heaven is the throne room of God. We're just like in Daniel, where I just told you about the battle, the spiritual battles happen in the second heaven. And so there are places where people have prayed and prayed for years, or, you know, people have opened portals in a city, in an area, in a town, in different places, where there happens to be an open heaven. And an open heaven means to where it's clear of demonic influence. God knew the places where it was, for some reason, that it was clear of demonic influence, where it could, it's a portal straight from heaven to earth, kind of bypassing the second heaven. That you know, it's ward of the spiritual warfare. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. It does make sense. So let's say, for instance, someone out there has, you know, they need intercession, or you know, even interceding on behalf of a family member that is not walking with God, you know, living a lifestyle of sin. What could you suggest that person begins to do in intercession?
Well, you know, there's a difference between intercession is a deeper level of prayer. It's prayer is, you know, you can pray any simple prayer, any prayer, but then there's intercession where you almost travail, and travail is like a labor. It's almost like a woman in labor when she gives birth to something, and you may see people shaking in church, and a lot of people, you know, some people don't know what that is, you know, and what it is, it's almost like when a mother gives birth to a baby, you're delivering something in the spirit, and you're delivering something, and you don't even happen to know what you're delivering, but you're delivering something through intercession and through prayer, and it's a form of intercession called travail. And a lot of people, when they're praying for cities and nations and larger areas, they start travailing or over somebody they've been praying for a long time. But when you're praying for a family member, you know the very first thing that most of us are taught, write down your prayers. And so, and I'm guilty. I don't always do this. Sometimes somebody can just, you can be driving down the street and a family member might come, or somebody, you might start thinking about someone you haven't seen in 10 years or 20 years or 5 years or 2 months, and all of a sudden, like, why are they, you know, you might start thinking, well, why are they, why am I thinking about them? Or you might see somebody that looks familiar to you, and you might be out at the store and you see somebody and you thought, oh, that's my friend John from Texas, and, you know, it's not him, you know, but for a moment, you thought it was him. It looks just like him. And so all of a sudden, you're thinking about John from Texas. So that's when the Lord says, pray for John. You know, when things like that happen, when you're in the car, somebody's just popped in your mind, or you just start to think, I wonder how so-and-so is doing. I haven't seen him in ages. It's usually God trying to get your attention to pray for that person, or pray for, you know, whatever it is he suddenly puts on your heart or on your mind. But if you, you know, have your prayer time like in the morning, you know, and like David said in the very beginning, the supplications and thanksgiving and requests that are made, the first thing you do is just start thanking God for the things that you have and the things that he's done for you, and just worship him for a minute, and then write down a list of the people, like your family members, and then start thanking God for the goodness of the things that he's doing in them. And of course, you want to pray, Lord, I pray for their salvation. And Lord, I pray for, you know, if they're not saved, I always pray, Lord, I pray for a spirit of repentance would fall on them. And then you can, you know, the Bible says in Luke 10:19, whatever you bind on earth is bound on heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed on earth. So, you know, if they're dealing, say, for instance, they have ungodly friends around them all the time. Well, you know, there's somebody who show me this. And in the book of Hosea, you know, you pray things like, Lord, just, you know, you can pray the word of God over them. Just release the word of God over them. And there's a thing in Hosea that says about their lovers. I wish I could think of it right now. I should have wrote that down. But about going after other lovers. And I just pray, Lord Jesus, the lovers of the world, the lovers of the things of the world that they're going after, let them fall away from them in the name of Jesus. Let the lovers not be attracted to them anymore in the name of Jesus. Things like that. You could just decree and declare and, you know, just ask for a spirit of repentance to fall over them. And then start, the best thing you can do, though, is start, Lord, I keep seeing the name John right now. So I have a friend named John from Texas. So I pray for him a lot. And I say, Lord Jesus, I just thank you that John is a, you know, mighty man of God, Lord. I just thank you that he's walking in integrity. I thank you that he has favor everywhere he goes. I thank you that he walks in integrity. I thank you that he is a man of integrity, Lord. I thank you that he's a man of his word. Or, you know, I have a friend that has a daughter named Lacey, and Lacey's not walking with the Lord right now, and she's, you know, she's like 14, and she's running all over the place. So I'll say, Lord Jesus, I thank you that Lacey sits among godly counsel. I thank you that she has godly friends. I thank you for those godly friends that are embracing her right now. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that your word says that me and my whole household will be saved, you know, because Lacey's, if that's the mother praying for the daughter, Lacey, I thank you that you promised me and my whole household will be saved. Because according to as it is written in Job 22, verse 28, he said, thou shalt decree a thing and it shall be established unto you. It's Job 22, verse 28. I hope that's right. So thou shalt decree, it's in Job 22 anyway, Job 22, it says, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you. So what I'm doing is I'm actually using proclamations over the person I'm praying for, and I'm speaking the opposite. If they're alcoholic, Lord, I just thank you that they're not drunk with wine or liquor, that they're drunk with the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, that they're addicted to you, Lord, that they're addicted to worship, they're addicted to you, to your presence, that, you know, so what you do is you pray the opposite of, you know, the opposite of the negative thing there, not the opposite of the good, opposite of the negative thing, and you can use God's word to proclaim those things, because, again, I'm going to read Job 22, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established to you, and the Lord says, you can ask anything in my name according to my will, and I'll do it for you. You can say this mountain be moved, and it shall be moved. So, you know, those are mountains, alcohol, drugs, rebellion, witchcraft. Those things are mountains, and we can speak to the mountain until it be removed. But then that, well, I know that sounds a little confusing because I just spoke about proclamation. I mean, about not tearing down strongholds. But you can speak life to the situation, and, you know, and we can tell things to leave. And, you know, people, if you're a mother, you have authority over your child, so you can speak to those things, and you can say, you know, I command those, you have authority. Because, you know, if they're living in your household or your family, you know, your family. But there's one more thing that I want to say. Do I have time, David?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, well, this happens to a lot of people. There's like, a lot of people when they first get saved or when they're new in the Lord or even when they're not saved, sometimes people live with, they have to go back and move with their parents. You may be 30 years old and you had to move back with your parents. And your parents may be Buddhist or they may be into witchcraft. They may have all this evil stuff in their house. And you're thinking, well, how do I live free in a house like that that has all these spirits in it, you know, and all this? Well, when you're given a room, you know, if you're given a room, then you have legal rights over that room. And you can plead the blood of Jesus. I just feel like I'm supposed to say this for some reason. In that room that you're living in, if you have your own room and you live in an ungodly house, but you have your own room, you can anoint that room, pray over that room, bless that room, and there's no demons that can enter that room unless you allow them to come in. You have the legal authority over that room. You don't, but you can bind them from the rest of the house, but you can't cast them out because the parents or whoever owns the house has the legal right to have the spirits in the house. So what I do is I just bind up their powers from operating while I'm in the house. I don't cast them out because you don't have a legal right to cast them out, but you just pray the same thing, proclaim, you know, in your prayer time and when you're in your room or wherever you are, say, Lord, I just thank you that this is a godly house. This is a house where there's fellowships that happen. This is a house where godly people come, and I bless this living room. I bless this house. And you start speaking to the living room and say, living room, I proclaim over you that you're going to have Bible studies and people are going to not want to leave because the worship is so strong. And people are going to come from all over just to come and listen to the sounds from heaven that come out of this living room, even if it's the darkest living room in the world. In the kitchen, I thank you that you're going to be a place of godly fellowship, that people are going to fellowship in my kitchen. This kitchen and this house where I'm living in, it's going to be a godly kitchen where people come, they bring food for fellowship, and people have fellowship in this house. And you can just go from room to room, and you can proclaim the goodness of God over that house, even if it's in the darkest place, you can proclaim that. But you can't cast them out, but you can start proclaiming that, because God calls things as not as though they were. And he says, he causes those things to pass, you know, and through your prayers and proclamations and worship and thanksgiving. And a decree is saying something to someone sick, you say, I speak life, I see your heart is completely healed, I see that your lungs are clear in the name of Jesus. I'm making a decree. And he says again, Job 22 says, thou shalt decree a thing and it shall be established unto you. And as long as it's according to God's will. So, you know, there's different ways to pray and there's different forms of prayer. And you can pray immediately. And, you know, you hear people groaning. Sometimes people are groaning and you hear them groaning. That's a form of prayer. And even the person may not know anything. They may not know what they're praying, but the Holy Spirit knows what they're praying. And because he says he hears our groanings. He hears our groanings. So he knows what, he can interpret that. We may not be able to interpret that, but he interprets that. or that deep agony that you feel, that's a groaning, you know, and that's a form of intercession too. When you have no words to say, that your heart is just, you don't have the words to say because you're just in that agony, and it's, that's also a form of intercession that a lot of mothers have for their children and fathers have for their sons and daughters, and, you know, daughters and sons have for their parents and friends and on and on and on. I hope I answered that.
That's really good. So with petitioning, thanks, supplication, giving thanks to the Lord, so they're all forms of prayer. What you mentioned with intercession is that it is obviously supernatural travail. And as you said, that means that you're birthing something that the Holy Spirit has placed inside of you, you know, in the spirit. You're giving birth to it. And that could be on behalf of yourself or someone else. But would it be safe to say it's not possible to work up that travail and that intercession? But if you start out praying for someone else in thanksgiving, supplication, you know, or petitioning, you know, often do you find yourself entering into the travailings of the Spirit?
Yes, definitely. Most travail doesn't come unless you're already praying anyway or worshiping. It can come during worship, and all of a sudden you're worshiping, and then you know, and you travail. And a lot of times, we have no idea, you know, when we get to heaven, we'll find out what we're, a lot of times we don't even know what we're travailing for. And can I read something to you real quick?
Sure.
This will, it says, the need to travail, it says, and I'm reading out of Jim Gall, prophetic and compassionate prophetic intercession, and it's by Jim Gall. And this is, the three basic facts about travail that should help provide an answer. It says, travail is a dying part of prayer. An expectant mother often feels that she is at the very brink of death or in childbirth. You know, mother, that's why, you know, the most sweetest, I'm a nurse, I worked as a nurse for about 25 years, so when I've seen the sweetest, kindest people that you know have been, like, kind all their lives, but then they go, when they're at that point, they're screaming, some are cursing, some are yelling. They would never, ever, ever act like that. So it says, you know, and they're just rocking and screaming. It says, an expectant mother often feels that she is at the very brink of death during childbirth. The pain is such that even modern medications may fail to relieve all of it, and the labor is actually very hard work. This pain is necessary, and it might be labeled the dying part of a mother's experience. Only as she willingly suffers and works can new life come forth. A familiar dying process takes place when we travail in prayer. It is a process that takes much time and dedication. Leonard Ravenhill reminds us, it is true that science has eliminated some of the suffering that a mother is doing in childbirth, but science will never shrink the long some months of child formation. And a lot of times you may have been praying for things for years or a month or 6 months, however long, you know, it may be a long-term prayer that you've been praying for, you know, and all of a sudden you may just have a time of prayer, and all of a sudden you, during worship or while you're praying, you know, and after a while, all of a sudden you may go into travail. And, you know, what's happening is all that's coming together, or you're birthing something. You're birthing you're birthing life. And, you know, a lot of people say you're birthing babies. You could be birthing, when I say birthing babies, you can birth souls through travail. When people are praying, you've been praying for souls. Lord, give me souls, give me souls. And you've been praying that, Lord Jesus, I want to win people to the Lord. I want to do this for the Lord. I want to do that for the Lord. And you're praying, and you're asking the Lord for different things, and you're asking the Lord for, you know, you want him to give you more, and you want him to give you more of your presence. And all of a sudden, one day, it could be 2 months, 6 months, and all of a sudden, one day you're there, and all of a sudden you start just, like, you're yelling when you're praying. And it's not even, you're aware that you're yelling, but at the same time, it's not your personality to yell. And you're, like, wailing, and you're groaning, and that's what's happening, is that's the birthing of the thing that you've been praying for, the birthing of an answer to intercession, and it's being birthed. And sometimes when people pray in the spirit a lot, they don't even know what they're praying. You could be birthing a nation. You could be birthing a city. I mean, you could be birthing the souls in the city. And you can be birthing, you could be praying, not even knowing it, a village in Africa, you know, or a group of Muslims in Saudi Arabia, or underground, you know, people in prison and missionaries in prison, or people in prison in China. I mean, you just don't know. You know, and, you know, we may never know when we get to heaven, but what happens, the saddest thing that I've ever seen is someone is in travail at a church and someone comes and stops them in the middle of the travail. It's like coming to a mother and saying, I know that you're birthing that child. You can no longer birth that child. You need to stop. You have to stop. And the baby is stillborn. The baby doesn't come out because you're birthing something. And that birthing has to go through completion. I mean, you know, God is a God of order. So when people travail, it's usually over. You know, it's just, a lot of times it's during worship, and it's usually over when worship is over. And, you know, since God's, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, he doesn't usually make it last longer than while someone's in the middle of worship. But it happens when you're at home, too. That can happen. And that's just a higher level of intercession. That's after you've been in intercession for a long time. You know, I mean, you know, but God's speeding things up so fast that, you know, we're in the end time. So things that used to take 10 years, God's doing in 6 months in some areas. And it, you know, it depends on all how fast you want to grow and, in prayer and intercession, and how it's such an, let me tell you this though, when you go from just praying, like, you know, have a ritual prayer and you pray every day and it's kind of, that's still good and God still honors that. But once you get past that and you go to a deeper place and you go deeper into intercession, there is such an adventure. You go up to heaven, he'll take you up to the throne room. He'll take you to the throne room, to the courtroom. He'll take you to a room where there's all rubies and diamonds, and it's an adventure. And he will take you on an adventure like you've never been on before, you know. But that's only in the deeper levels of intercession. That's not going to happen at the lower levels of intercession. And that just requires. There's some people say, well, I want to do these things. I hear about all these people going to heaven, and I hear people doing these things. And from my experience, it happens the more that I worship, the more that I pray in the Spirit, and, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is something that God talks about in the book of Acts. And you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit by prayer, and it's just like you receive salvation. It's a gift that you receive by faith. And I wish I had time to talk about that, because I'm sure a lot of people, there's people that don't understand. Well, just let me tell you this. The first time somebody told me to speak in tongues, this man, he was a radio broadcaster, and there was a Bible study, and I was in this room, I was only saved for a year, and he got all the people in the room. There was a Bible study, and they knew I was a new Christian. You know, they could tell, you know. So this guy says, have you received the Holy Spirit? And I thought, well, I'm a Christian. I received the Holy Spirit, so I thought they were the same, you know, at that time. So he pulls me in a room with everybody, and they all start speaking in tongues over me, about 20 people, and I just said, I got to go, and I ran out of the house. I was so scared. But it's because I didn't have, you know, my people perish for lack of knowledge. I didn't have the knowledge of what was, you know, what that was. I wanted to know what it was, but I didn't know what it was. So, where was I?
You were talking about people lacking due to perishing due to a lack of knowledge.
Yeah, well, the difference between regular prayer and praying in the Spirit, which is speaking, praying in tongues, is, you know, the Bible says when we pray in the Spirit, and it's in Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 13 and 14, I think it is. It says that we groan, that we, I lost my train of thought. When we pray in the natural, it's like driving just a regular, ordinary car. I'm just going to use that as an example. It's not, but just a car, like maybe just a regular car. Well, when you pray in the Spirit, it's like driving and you start praying and you're praying in the Spirit and you're worshiping. it's like the difference between that regular car that's maybe, say just like a 2012 car. It's the difference between that and then having a futuristic car that has fully loaded, almost flies. That's like a 2030 car, fully loaded, full speed. I mean, like we've never seen before. And it's way even different than that. It's like flying, you know, and the difference in the power to pray it in the spirit and tongues brings the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in us. When we ask Him to come in, He comes in. And also in the book of Acts, it talks all about the power of the Holy Spirit and receiving the Holy Spirit and the tongues of fire that, you know, and you receive the Holy Spirit just by asking Him. And somebody told me, my sister, or somebody else that told me, when you first start asking the Holy Spirit, and they prayed for me to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then God gives you a prayer language. And so one lady said, just, you know, when you're a child, when a baby starts talking, the first starts talking, he goes da 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 da, right? So because that's all he knows, da da, or more 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 more, and that's all they know how to say. They don't know how to pronounce words or say anything. And so we have a heavenly language, and so people would say, just say, you know, you hear a lot of people saying Shonda or something like that when they're praying in tongues. And if you don't know what that is, I remember it sounded scary when I first heard of it, but I could feel the power of it when people prayed around me that prayed in the Spirit, but I didn't understand it. So I remember I was in my room by myself, and so somebody said, just start saying Shonda, and I sat there, you know, and I already asked the Holy Spirit to come in, so He came in, but it's just like when you get born again, there's a seed planted, He's there, but He has to grow, you know. And it's just like when you're a baby, you first have to talk and crawl and walk and all that. The same with the power of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I just sat in my room and I would go, Shonda, Shonda. And I think, this is so stupid. This is the devil. And the first time I did it, I said, I bind all demons. And I really didn't even know much about demons. But this is the devil. This isn't God. And so then I had gotten in a few car accidents, so the Lord started. He said, "Okay, I'm going to prove to you that this is real," because I was really had a fear of car accidents. So I'd get in the car, and cars would get like they would speed right near me, and all of a sudden God says, "Okay, start praying in the Spirit. Just pray what you know, just like when little Lucas says da 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 da." So I started going, immediately the cars would get out of the way. And so then I started seeing things. Every time I did it, I started seeing things happening, just little things here and there. And so then the Lord started adding to that. And then as He added to that, then, you know, I would hear, it's like just like a little kid mimics their mom and dad and the people that raise them. So we're like that with God. So when I would hear other people praying in tongues, I would start like adding words and learning new words. And so one day God gave me my own prayer language, and then now I pray in the Spirit all the time. But we pray in the Corinthians says we pray in the natural and we pray in the Spirit. And but when we pray in the Spirit, it releases, it really helps, it strengthens us and strengthens our spirits. And a lot of people do pray a lot in the Spirit when they're in prayer. So it's not done a lot publicly in a lot of traditional churches because of the Corinthians. But go ahead. You're going to say something?
Yeah, no, it's really good. It's really good. And I think people need to get a conviction of how important it is to pray in the Spirit, you know?
Yes.
Like, talking about how he saw a cloud, or you know, the darkest, biggest cloud that he'd ever seen that the enemy had created, and what was going to give it a right was if the people gave into fear, you know, and that's for America. And so what he's saying is, sure, yeah, there's a cloud, but we don't have to receive that, and you know, you don't have, wow, to receive that, you know. How do we It's the whole thing of, it's not just carrying each other's burdens, and I'm not talking about a religious kind of a burden. I'm talking about just the things that happen in our life. We help each other in the body of Christ with those weighty things, you know. And one of the ways we do it is to pray in the Spirit. And if we do that, what we then do is we create communities that are supercharged on prayer, and they're not giving in to things like fear. Okay, and so again, the answer to all these you know judgment words and all these things that people are fearful of coming in the future. For you in the Spirit, I just believe that there is a call right now to pray in the Spirit. You know, just believers are called to pray in the Spirit about all, you know. And when we say pray in the Spirit in intercession, it is led by the Spirit. But the Spirit is going to lead you to pray to travail for souls. He's going to lead you to travail for family members that are just doing the sinful whatever to repent and embrace. I mean, talking about here is, you know, there have been many books over the years, great authors that have written on intercession, and I would encourage you after this to check out Cindy Jacobs, James Goll. You know, these people really have, like Deborah, also a strong understanding of intercession, but those books were written 5-10 years ago and more relevant now. You know, there's something. As far as intercession and praying in Revelation years ago, all of a sudden it's becoming even more relevant now. So I would encourage you to get, you know.
Are there breaking up?
I was wondering if you just pray.
David?
Can you hear me then?
It's breaking up really bad. Can you? Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me? Okay, it kept breaking up, but I just wanted to tell.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Well, there's a good.
Go for it.
What was that? There's another form of intercession I forgot to mention really quick, and I just Barbara Wintrobel. I hope I'm saying her name right. I have a book here. I have so many books sitting in front of me. She was Chuck Pierce. She's Chuck Pierce's, or was Chuck Pierce's spiritual mother or spiritual mentor, was Barbara Wintrobel. And Chuck Pierce was mentored by her. And so she has a ministry of intercession. And can you hear me?
Again.
Okay, so she has, real quick, she sent one of her intercessors to a hospital that a lady was paralyzed, and she was in a coma, and a lot of patients, when they're in coma, they have, like, these spasms, and so this lady was an older lady, so she was, like, about 75 years old, or 75, and she sent her to the hospital, and so when she got to the hospital, they were going to inject alcohol into her spine because they said, well, she's going to die anyway. She's in a coma. She's not going to make it because she's in a coma and all this. And so she's paralyzed. They said she's paralyzed for the rest of her life anyway, so there's no reason to inject it. You know, we may as well inject this alcohol into her spine because it'll stop the spasms in her body. And so they were taking her away to inject alcohol into her spine. And so the lady, the intercessor that's in the room, she happened to be the only one in there. There wasn't two patients. There was just one patient in the room, and that was the lady she was there to pray for. And so they go take her off to go do this injection into her spine. And so she goes, well, how do I pray for her, Lord? What do you want me to do? The Lord told this lady, she goes, the Lord said, I want you to dance. The lady had never danced in her entire life. She goes, what? You want me to dance? She says, Lord, I've never danced in my whole life. She goes, I don't want you to pray to me. I don't want you to speak. I just want you to dance. That's all I want you to do. So she goes, okay, Lord, you're going to have to make sure nobody comes into this room or they're going to, like, put me on the psych ward. I mean, she was kind of joking. But anyway, so, so she shuts the door. And even though she never danced before, she didn't like, she was, you know, there's some people that don't like to dance, believe it or not. You know, I love to dance, but there's some people that just don't like to dance. So she starts, she goes, well, I don't even know what to do. And the Lord says, just start moving and just sing a song to yourself and move around to the song. And so she starts doing 3 hours later, the lady's still dancing, and she's 70, 75 years old. So after 3 hours, the Lord says, stop, you know. And you'd think somebody that, you know, that they would, you know, people can still dance at 75, of course, you know, 70. But, you know, that's a lot, that's a long time. And so it could have been an hour to 3 hours. I might be wrong in the exact time, but it was for a while, at least an hour, I know it was. So they brought her back, and the lady, the alcohol did not do anything. They injected the alcohol. It didn't work whatsoever. And a week later, she was out and out of the hospital, and now she's traveling all over the world. The lady that was in the hospital in the bed that they said would never walk. And it was all because the Lord told the lady. So the Lord, this is what the Lord says when you're praying. Obedience is in the instruction for you. Obedience is not in the instruction that everybody else always gives you, but he confirms things for three witnesses three times. But when you're praying, however you pray, it's the obedience is in the instructions that he gives to you. He might tell you to pray one way and somebody else to pray another way. But there are the basic, you know, just like, you know, I tell people, because I like music, I sing and play the keyboard, so I tell people, it's like when you first, there's millions of songs out there, but everybody has to have the basic chords to play the music. You have to have the C chord, the D chord, you know, all the chords. And everybody, you know, the musicians, they know the same chords, but they all play different songs. And a different sound comes out. Different people. It's not all the same. So just because you know the same chords doesn't mean you're going to sound like somebody else, or you're going to, you know, it may be different for you. You know, just the basics of prayer are the same.
Yeah, absolutely. I think.
Oh, you asked me to pray. You asked me to pray. I guess I should pray,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, please do. Love you to pray for the impartation.
Okay, so Lord, first of all, I thank you that prayer is not boring. I know, you know, when I first started praying, I thought, it's got to be better than this. It's got to be something better than this. This is so boring. You know, and you know, God's a friend. Like, he talks to us like we're his best friends. Like, he talks to us like you would talk to your friend. You can talk to God just the way, you know, I know, I hear I'm going on another subject. Okay, let me pray. So, Lord Jesus, I just thank you that everybody who's listening is an individual. It's like every snowflake is an individual unique. You made each person unique. But I pray the basics of prayer and the prayer that the people that are listening to the sound of my voice, that everyone who hears the sound of my voice right now, that they would receive an impartation of intercession and travail. And I release it over them right now. You're not bound by distance, Lord Jesus. So I just thank you, Lord Jesus, as if you're there laying your hands on them. I pray that you put your hand on every single person that's hearing the sound of my voice. And Lord, that you I release spirit of intercession over you in the name of Jesus. I release that spirit of travail over those who want that, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Those who want to go deeper, I release that spirit of the ones who want to go deeper, Lord Jesus. And I thank you for each and every person listening. I bless them, and I bless their families, and I bless their lives, and I bless them to have good teachers and good mentors and godly mentors, not just good, but the best, Lord Jesus. I release the best over them that you have. And I release the, I just ask that you would give them dreams and visions, and Lord Jesus, and the interpretation of dreams and visions and intercession, dreams, and visions, they all go together. It all goes together. The prophetic, I ask that you would release the prophetic over people, prophetic intercession over people. And, you know, those who are afraid of even the prophetic, you know, things like walking in the store, and all of a sudden you have a word for someone and they get saved because you got that word. That's a soul that was saved because of the prophetic. So we can't just, we have to, want to just pray that you give people a hunger and thirst after more of you and more of your presence, and and worship, that a spirit of worship would fall on the people, Lord Jesus, that you would send your worshiping angels to the people. Lord, that you would give them a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, and that you would teach them to pray. And I think of that scripture with Jesus when he said, could you not pray with me for 1 hour? When we're praying in the natural, there's a difference between the natural and the spirit. When we're praying in the natural, it can seem like remote prayers, but God still hears those prayers. But when you pray in the spirit and you pray and you go further, then it becomes an adventure and fun and exciting, and just so much happens. So Lord, I pray that you take the people that are listening to the sound of my voice on adventures. I release that adventurous spirit and prayer over the people listening to the sound of my voice, and that worship is worship and repentance and proclamation are the keys to answer to the prayer, Lord Jesus, and that there is so much more, Lord Jesus, but you know what everybody handling. Redeem the time. Those who are saying, wow, I've lost a lot of time believing, thinking intercession was something else, God will, Lord, have redeemed their time. God can take what you missed and give it to you so fast. You know, God is a God of catch-up. He catches you up so fast. So what I release, Lord, everything the people need in their families and their lives and their businesses and their ministries and every part of their lives, in Jesus' name. And I just want to give you a few books. Anything that you can find by Chuck Pierce is good. He's got Interpreting the Times. In Jim Gall, this is just one of the books. He has Compassionate Prophetic Intercession by Jim Gall. He has study books. Patricia King has books on prayer. There's so many different. One last thing I want to say. Kim, I feel like while we're on the on this, I don't know if everybody knows Kim Clement, but Kim Clement, I was in the car last night, and all of a sudden the right side of my body was going numb. My lips were going numb, and I thought, oh no, I'm getting sick again. What's happening? I thought I was going to have to go to the hospital. Immediately after that started happening, a friend calls on the phone, and I'm in the car with a friend coming home from church. A friend says, Kim Clement just found out that his right side of his body went numb, and that they found he has bleeding in his brain. And so immediately the Lord said, this isn't what you think it is. This is it for intercession. Just start praying. So when you get deeper in intercession, sometimes, so I started praying in the spirit for an hour, and me and my friend started praying in the spirit, and then it lifted. It went away. So things like that can happen. Like, I remember I promised one guy that I would help him find a dentist, and I forgot about it. All of a sudden, my teeth started hurting so bad, and then the Lord my teeth were hurting bad. The Lord said, you forgot to tell that guy, call him back up and help him, try to help him. So that was God's reminder. So sometimes you'll be in a service and you may get a headache, and it may not be that you're having the headache. It may be, sometimes that's a form of intercession too. That's God showing you there's somebody near you that is having headaches. Pray. Just Lord, in general, I pray for anyone that's around me. You don't have to say it out loud if the church service is going on. Lord, I pray for anyone around me who has a headache or a toothache, or if your back starts. I pray for anyone around me that has having problems with their back. God doesn't cause illnesses. He never causes illnesses. But if we give him permission, to do things like, are you still there?
You've got 60 seconds.
Okay. So anyway, Lord, I just pray that the spirit of intercession to fall, meet the people where they are, cause them to grow in intercession, and bless them all, Lord Jesus. I call forth everybody in the fullness of their destiny, that everyone, the people listening to my sound of voice, would walk in the fullness of their destiny, and that you would lead them to godly mentors that really will love them with your love, Lord, and that the spirit of God will rest on them in Jesus' name. Amen.
And then next week, Tuesday, 8:30. God bless. Thank you, Deborah.
Bless you. Okay, thank you.